Any good to be here this morning? I'm very excited always to come to church. I love church. Paul and I got married on Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, and we went to Sunday school on Sunday and church service on Sunday and Sunday night service, and believe in church. I love church. I was sitting there thinking about how it just don't feel right here without Pastor Savage, and I'm so thankful for him. I know you are, and love him in the Lord, and so don't forget to pray much for him. Brother James is very wrong about this thing of preaching. I heard a preacher say one time, he's an evangelist, and pastor asked him, he said, do you need the time to study this afternoon for the service tonight? He was in revival. He said, no, I'm just going to preach the gospel. We can go on and play golf. And that's not what this is all about. You can't just jerk a rabbit out of the hat and impress people. It's a matter of fact, this is not about me. Preaching is a thing that God gives and God does, and we need preaching this morning. And Pastor called me about 8:30 this morning about the service, and bless his heart, I know he's waiting the last minute, just hoping he was going to get better, so we need to pray much for God to bless, and I'm so reminded of what he says in John 15. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. And that's true for you. And boy, it's more than ever true for me. So we need him. I've been just praying and seeking him with all my heart since then for the service. Normally I pray much more about what he's going to have me to say. So we just turn ourselves to him and ask him if he would to just bless and have his way this morning. If you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, I really expect him to do great things this morning. It's all about him. I have him in my heart, as we just heard sing. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know him, your very own self, and to fellowship with him. It is so wonderful. Philippians chapter 3, when you found that, let's stand reverencing God's word. I'd like to read several verses. Let's start in verse 3. It says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's a big statement, no confidence in the flesh. I feel that immensely this morning. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. He follows after being perfect. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, rather I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'd like to preach on that for a minute if we could. The press, there's an anxiousness here. There's a necessity here. There's a great importance here. For the high calling of God that's available in Christ. And we need it. We need it bad. Let's pray, please. Father, we love you, and we're thanking you this morning for your precious word. We thank you for this chapter in your word. We thank you, dear God, how it impressed my heart. I want to thank you, and I want to ask you for my very own self. I want to press toward this mark of the prize of your high calling. I want to be used by you. I need you so bad. And I need you every day that you give me life. And I want to walk in you. I want to bring you honor and glory. We want to know this high call. We want to know your fullness. And I just pray for us this morning, dear God. I pray if there be one lost here this morning, that one would understand their need to be saved. Father, if you draw them to Jesus, it would be such a wonderful thing. And Lord, if they would receive the truth of your gospel, the good news, Lord, of your death, burial, and resurrection, and call out on you in repentance to save their soul, oh, that would be wonderful for them. So we pray that for them if they're here and lost. And then, Lord, most of us are saved. And Lord, I just pray for us in a special way, Lord, that we would understand what you're speaking to us about here in your precious word. What a glorious thing that you care for us. You've got such plans for us, and you've got so much to give each and every one of us. And so with all of our heart, we'd ask you this morning to bless these verses to our heart. And Lord, just speak through me as you see fit. Take my hands off myself, and I yield to you. We need you. Spirit of God, let your word come forth with power, and we'll thank you for it. It's in your wonderful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, on every Saturday morning here, yesterday was no exception, Pastor asked us that we're going to go out and invite folks to church and invite folks to the Lord Jesus Christ to pray about revival. And many of us here are very, very concerned that we have revival here at Bethel Baptist Church. And we want it personally, and we want it church-wide. And so seeking revival is a very important thing. I believe the passage where he says, if you have not because you ask not, you might consume it of your own lust. I believe sometimes we don't have revival because we really don't ask for it with all of our heart and seek it like that we need to. And so it's important, this thing of revival. It's important that we understand the need that we have. You know, it's a known fact that church attendance is down. All over our nation. There are many people in our nation today that were not raised even to go to church. And many times when they get saved, they don't even know to go to church. They have no idea how important the local church is to them. And I'm thankful that I know how important it is to me, but many don't know that. And so many never darken the doors of a church today. More and more people are becoming in their belief that they don't even believe in God. And the reason that our nation is turning from the local church and turning more or less from God is because of the church, the local church. Many of our churches are not even using the King James Bible anymore. Many of our churches are not preaching the truth of God's word. Many of the churches in our land don't stand on Bible doctrine. Many of them in our land are just more or less social clubs. And that's not what the church is to be. And so that there's a great need of revival. This morning, we're in one of the greatest churches around. We're seeking God, most of us, with all of our heart. But yet, I believe with all my heart that Bethel Baptist Church needs revival. I think it was a week ago, Saturday or something, Pastor asked us that we're here, how many got revival during our last meeting? And it was a great meeting, and I was truly blessed. And everybody sat there and nobody said, yes, I got revival. And I spoke up and I said, I need more. And that's my heart this morning. I need more of God. I need more of his abundance. I need revival my very own self. And you know, I'm not trying to judge you, but I believe we all do. And so if we could think about this need, whenever he talks about the high calling of God, I believe we can refer to revival as that. I believe the high calling of God is for us to know all of God, to know the power of God, to know the will of God, to have the purpose of God in our present life, to enjoy serving God, Rick and I were texting the other day talking about the will of God. And I told him, I said, you know, it's so exciting to seek the will of God and to know the will of God and to do the will of God, and because he gives us the desires of our heart. And so if he would give us the desires of his will, then we can do what we want to. We will want to please God. We will want to do what God says. And all of that is a part of this thing called revival. But before we can press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, we must truly be born again. You can't have this high calling without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't know the Father, God the Father, without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus is the only way that we have to God. And he is the only mediator between God and man. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. He said, by me, and as he said that. And so it's important. Many in our land today believe that some can be saved and some cannot. And I'm glad to stand here this morning and tell you that he died for whosoever. He died for everyone that's here this morning. He paid the price for your sin. He bore your sin on the cross. He became sin for us that knew no sin. He's a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ is. And the Lord wants every person saved. It's not God's will that any person have to be cast into hell because they rejected the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. They rejected the gospel. They rejected the truth of God's word. They rejected the very reason that Jesus came on planet Earth and died and rose again the third day, according to Scripture. You're familiar with 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He means that. He means that. And I'm so thankful that we understand the Scripture to say that. It's so important. In 1 Timothy 2:4 through 6, he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? He will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We're right today in due time. I'm telling you about Jesus that died for you and that rose again and paid for your sin. Yes, it says, and Moses was lifted up in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? For God so loved the world, you know it, that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's so important that we believe. So important that we understand we need to believe. It's so important that we understand that he showed us his love, commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So important that we believe in the resurrection. It's so important that we understand that the invitation is so real. In Revelation 22:17, it says, the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him as a thirst come. Let him that heareth say, come. Come to Jesus. That's the big deal. Before we can know this high calling of God, we got to know Jesus. We must be born again. He said to Nicodemus, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. So it's important. If you're not saved this morning, you can be saved this morning. If God touches your heart and draws you and touches you that you know you're lost, you can be saved. And you can be saved forever. And you can receive eternal life, the very gift of God this morning. It's so important that we understand this, because God has got salvation, life, abundant life, joy and peace, assurance for every individual that trusts in Jesus Christ to save their soul. But that's not all. A lot of people get saved and they think, well, I've done it. That's all I got to do. I can just sit down now spiritually and not do anything else for God. I'm not going to hell because I've been saved. That's a great trick of the old devil. He wants you to sit down. He wants you to stay a baby. He wants you to stay on milk the rest of your life. He doesn't want you to grow and mature into this place of the high calling of God. So it's very important that we be saved. It's very important that we understand. And it's very important that we understand when we get saved that God is going to continue to work in us and continue to show us himself and to continue to reveal himself and strengthen us and cleanse our bodies from sin. It's so important. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so it's important to know that being saved is great and marvelous and wonderful, but it's the beginning of the relationship that we have with God the Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so important. And so that's what we're talking about here in the text this morning, is this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father, and understanding this thing and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, to where we know what revival is, to where we know what the abundant life is, to where we know what the great blessings that God has prepared for us that love him. So it's important. This is very important. And we want to understand it. And so there's very much said today about election. And I want you to understand election. Whenever that we get saved, we get into the elect. And in this thing of being elect of God, God has elected some things for every born-again believer. And he's got a plan for each and every one of our lives that we could literally live in Christ to the joy of the precious, wonderful Lord. And we want to understand that. Listen to 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit into obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Wow. Now, whenever we get saved, God's foreknowledge, he's got this plan for us. And it includes the sanctification of the Holy Ghost of God, the sanctification of the Spirit of God. He's going to convict you of sin that's in your body. He's going to convict you of wrong thinking. He's going to convict you of things in your life that are not pleasing to him. And he's wanting to bring this peace multiplied. Man, he wants us the happiest ducks on the pond, if you please. He wants us the most exciting person that's living on planet Earth. He wants to live in us and bless us. And so the blood of Jesus will wash these things away. And conviction will come. The Word will convict. And the Word will wash us. And the Spirit of God will sanctify us. And we will mature in the precious Lord. And in this process, we'll begin to see that there's so much more for us past salvation. Eternal life is past salvation. It's forever. And God has great things for us. And so Paul in our text deals with the physical. He says that if anybody can claim the physical, he can. Of the law, blameless, he says. I mean, he lived according to the Jewish customs and laws and rites and zeal, even in persecuting those that believe what we believe today as Christians. But that wasn't good. That wasn't good enough. And the flesh is never good enough. And it'll never please God. And so that's why we got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And so all of this foreknowledge, all of this elect of God for us as Christians. See, when we're his, we're to be special in him from then on. And so that's a growing process. We don't just sit down. We seek the Lord. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're in this thing in Christ. Now we're different. We're a new creature. The body's the same. And the body has to be changed, and our minds have to be changed. And he's got this plan for us. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, a lot of people in Calvinism deal with this chapter, but boy, it's so precious. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, listen to what he says. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's not some of them, that's all of them. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Every Christian is supposed to go through this. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, everybody has sin, and so I've got sin. That's not his will for you. Everybody sins. Well, yes, God says we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. But we desire not to have sin. We're studying the Bible to find out what our sin is. We're confessing those that it reveals to us and turning from them and living out of them. And so he wants us to make us holy and without blame before him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when you pray you come pure, you come without blame, you come to him holy, and the fellowship just begins to explode? Wouldn't it be wonderful? That's his plan for your life if you're saved. That's what he has ordained for you that are saved. Wow. Verse 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, he loves to save, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Wow. Accepted. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us, listen, in all wisdom and prudence, potential understanding, all wisdom and understanding. The Lord abounds toward us, having made known unto us, listen, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Some people think God's mean. Some people think God's way is very hard and absolutely no pleasure in God's way. So some people, I've heard it said that if you serve God, you have to give up everything that's good. Listen, when we serve God, we get what's good. And it's so important to understand this. And so he makes known unto us the mystery of his will. I find his will to be wonderful. I find it to be very perfect. I find it to be so rich and exciting when I find it and I do it and obey him, fulfilling. And how exciting it gets to please him. His pleasure is good, and he purposed all this in himself. Then in 17 it goes on, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. We're talking about pressing toward the prize of the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. The Lord will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. Sometimes we want to know something and we have to go ask pastor. And we pray that pastor's close enough to God that he's going to be able to help us. What about, and I'm not trying to put pastor down one bit here, what about if we were close to God, close enough to God and knew the will of God and God had revealed the will of God, that we could just get it ourselves? That's his will. That's his will. Pastor can help us. Praise the Lord, we got pastor to help us. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Christian, that's yours. Could you press toward that? Could you press toward this mark of the prize of the high calling of God? Listen, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There's riches here. There's riches. It's in our inheritance as a born-again believer. And sometimes we act like it's impossible for us to have it. It's not. It's God. God has called it out and given it to you. And he'll enlighten your understanding. You can know the hope of his calling. We can know what he wants out of us. We can know what he wants to do with us. We can know the purpose, individual purpose, and his will for our life. It's exciting, this great high calling of God. Some people think that's just to preach. No, that's to be a born-again believer, one that's sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, one that doesn't care what he wants, just wants to know what he wants. One they would study to seek his will for their life. He goes on in verse 19 in Ephesians 3, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? It gives me shivers to think about him working in me with his mighty power. What do you think? Oh, I love when he says, with God, there's no respecter of persons. I love when I can claim these kind of verses for my very own self. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? I believe. And I can seek after this exceeding great power of God. His mighty power. I can have his power to overcome the drawing and the tempting and the trying and the testing of the old devil. I can tell the devil, no, I resist you, and he'll flee from me. Because of this exceeding great power that God wants to give me, if I'll just press toward the mark of the high calling of God. So we can sit on our stool and do nothing, or we can press toward God. We can put our undivided attention toward God. Isn't that awesome? That's a privilege in Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross and rose again, he bought this privilege for me and for you that believe. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. This death, burial, and resurrection is a great purchase. Purchased my redemption, purchased my salvation, and he purchased this great high calling of God. This great wisdom, this great knowledge of the will of God, this abundant life in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness, it's an awesome thing, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to think about what God has prepared for you and for me? After that, we get saved. Boy, salvation is wonderful. It's glorious, praise God, for saving my soul. But man, what's after that? I just can't imagine walking in on heaven. Man, good, oh my, just standing there before the throne, I just can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. But he wants us to have a foretaste of that in this life right now. His abundance, his power, his wisdom, his understanding, his joy magnified, peace magnified. Oh, sometimes we treat him like he's a plague or something. He's not. He's wonderful. Everything he has for you to do will be glorious. Oh. It says in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, it says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I believe it's time we reverence God in such a way that we don't want to disobey him one bit. If he says, forsake not to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching, we want to be in church. When he says, preach the gospel to every creature, we want to preach the gospel to every creature. When he says to pray without ceasing, we want to pray without ceasing. When he says we want to love one another, we want to love one another. On and on. It's so important that we understand he's got so much prepared for us. Many believers have already turned their back on this great promise. Many believers have already said, no, I want the things of the world. You say, Brother Martins, who are you talking about? Well, I'm going to give you one name. It's not anybody that's in this church. But Paul said of Didymus, he said, Didymus has forsaken me for this present world. Many people have forsaken the church. If Pastor were here and God would give him the privilege, he could give you name after name after name after name over these 30 years of people he's seen forsake the Lord and go to the present world. They go to what the world wants, what the world tells them. Many people are doing this in the form of religion. Many people had rather take the doctrines of their church or the teachings of an ungodly church over the Word of God. And so they'll take the religion of man and live the religion of man and deny the precious Word of God. I don't know how many times I've seen people that express themselves to love God with all their heart. I mean, they love God according to them. And then they'll get around to saying, I just want to thank God for what he's done and given me in this way. And they'll name something that they're giving God credit for giving them. And that thing is called out to be sin in God's Word. And if you know the Bible, you'll know, well, that's not, God didn't do that. Huh? But they think they're great. They're taking man's religion over God. And buddy, that's a terrible thing. And the devil will let you have religion. He'll let you talk about God. He'll let you profess to know him, but it doesn't do any good for you. Matter of fact, it harms you if it's not real. You got to be a born-again believer, and it's got to be real. You got to be a born-again believer that's seeking God and his word and his will for your life with all your heart. It's got to be real. It's between you and him. You're not doing it to impress Pastor Savage. You're not doing it to impress your Sunday school teacher. You're not doing it to impress me or anybody else. You're doing it because you love God and you want to please God. And God has spoken to you through his precious word. And you want to obey him because you know doing that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. Amen? Nothing on earth compares to what we're talking about. Nothing on earth compares to what God has prepared for us that love him. So Didymus forsook him for this present world. Boy, it's a serious thing here. We need to understand that we don't want to be like that. We want to understand, as Paul talks about here in the passage that we read, it's not about the flesh. Everything that he produced fleshly, he said, I count it as dung. It's of no value to me. I count it as dung. Oh, one thing I do, though, I'm going to forget where I failed. And I'm going to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I'll deal revival again for just a minute. Some of us, I've been praying for Holy Ghost revival for many years. And I have seen some, I've even preached some good meetings. But I've not seen what I want to see. I want to see every time we come here that this place is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I want to see people walking these aisles getting saved because the Spirit of God has drawn them. I want to see us as a church, when God touches our heart about something, we come to this altar brokenhearted and we don't get up from there till it's settled and finished and completed and we're right with God and we get up rejoicing in the Lord. And listen, revival, Holy Ghost revival, will do these things. And forgetting those things which are of the past. So, well, preacher, I prayed for revival like this. I earnestly begged God to do this, and God hadn't done it. Well, can I forget that and do it again? Can I forget when I've got in God's way some way or another and God hadn't worked like I thought he ought to work? Can I just keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God? Can I just keep seeking God with all my heart? Can I just not lean on my own understanding and trust my Lord God, the Almighty, true, and living God? I can. I must. And you too must. So it's so serious. Pressing. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, assuming we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily does beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I contend this morning that race is seeking this high calling of God. I believe, as humble as I know how to say it, I believe that calling is so much higher than what I know and think that even it could be. I think it would just astonish us if he would peel back the scale of our eyes and we could see all that he's prepared for us and all that he wants to do for us. If we just press toward him, if we just seek him, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if we would just do this, he would truly load us with benefits, spiritual benefits. Oh, it's so important. We run, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we run not for a corruptible crown. I've known business people that want to join a certain church so they could prosper business-wise. That's a corruptible crown. We're seeking an incorruptible crown. We're seeking to please the Lord God Almighty. We're seeking to submit and let him move into our lives to where we can please him. Through him, we can please him. I think that's so exciting. I can't please him in my own strength. I can't please him with my own mind. But I can yield myself. And in him, I can do what he expects of me. And I can enjoy every second of it and every place of it. It is so wonderful. I'm telling you this morning, God wants me to encourage your heart to run after God. If you're lost, you'd come this morning and run after God and seek God to save your old wretched soul. And if you're saved this morning, oh my, we need to run after Him. We need to run. We need to press. Well, I prayed once and it didn't happen. Press. I prayed for 6 months and it didn't happen. Press. I want more and I hadn't got it. Press. Submit and press. He says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. The chapter before this, He became a man and humbled Himself and died on the cross. I need to be conformable to His death. It's time we took our hands off ourselves. It's time we mortify the deeds of ourselves, our flesh. It's time we die to self. It's time we let self go and we just get full in Him and serve Him. And seek this high call. Seek revival like we've never sought it before. Seek God with all that we are. Seek God's wisdom. And get in the book prayerfully. And let God speak to us and show us His perfect will. And He will begin to put His hand on you. He will begin to bless you like you've never known a blessing. Young, old, middle age, it doesn't matter. It's time our teenagers got all in, isn't it? It's time mom and daddy's got all in. It's time us seniors got all in. Some of us seniors may not have another 100 years on this earth. Probably don't. Boy, what time's here? We need to live it for the Lord. I'm telling you, and I'm trying to tell you this morning, that there's a lot that we don't know. And it's just, it's like the table is set and we won't sit down. He wants to bless. I'll agree with the apostle here. I have not apprehended yet. But I'm pressing. How about you? I'm going to press. I want more. I think it's a slam on God when we come to the thought process that we're all that we're supposed to be and we know all that we're supposed to know about Him. Folks, I want to tell you as humble as know how, He's bigger than that. He's so much bigger than that. He's got so much more for you and me. So much. I wished I had the vocabulary to describe it. I wished I even knew all that it was. But I want to tell you, it's a lot. It's bigger than you and I can imagine. And the Bible says if He's begun a work in you, He'll do it. If you're saved, don't get in His way. Let Him do it. You may need to change some of your habits. You may need to change your lifestyle. You may need to change how much you're in the book. You may have to change how much you're on your knees before God. You may have to change how you think about some things. But if you'll press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling God, He'll show them to you. And He'll give you the power to change them. And He'll give you the power to live like He wants you to live. And when you do, He'll just fall in on you. And you'll see Him like you've never seen Him before. He's so big. Brother Dave, just imagine how much He wants to bless you. Man, it's just more than I can imagine how much He wants to bless me. So the question is, if you're saved, will you have Him? Will you let Him be your Lord? That's the place. He wants to be Master, Lord. If you will, he will. I promise. You don't have to trust me. You got his word on it. Christian, please, press toward the mark. Run the race with patience. Let God bless you in abundance. And if you're here and you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. It's the day to get saved. You might not have another opportunity. So let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. So I want to ask you, in closing this morning, invitation time, if you'd be here this morning and lost, and you've never been saved, maybe you're a church member, maybe you're not, but you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know you don't. God has spoke to your heart and told you that you don't. If you're here, I'd like for you to acknowledge that, and with this thought in mind that I want to pray for you, that God will make it so real for you today that you'll want to come get saved. Would there be anybody here this morning like that? Brother Martis, I know I'm lost. I need prayer. Would anybody raise their hand and say that this morning? Anybody at all right now? Anybody here admit to being lost? First part in knowing this high calling. Anybody? Amen. Nobody raised their hand. Now, how about you, Christian? Has it been your life to press toward this mark of the prize of the high calling of God? Are you pressing toward this Holy Ghost revival? Are you pressing toward the abundance in Christ Jesus that he's got for every born-again believer? Or do you find yourself sitting down this morning? Sitting down. Just status quo. I'd like to pray for you if you're in that place. You're not pressing. You're not running. You're sitting down on God. So Brother Morris, pray for me. I need prayer. Anybody at all here? I see that hand on the back. Bless your heart. I see the hand. Bless you. Anybody else, Brother Martis? I'm not what I need to be. I know there's more, God, that I need. Anybody else, real quick? I see that hand on the very back. Bless your heart. I see it, brother. Thank you, both brothers. Time. I see this hand, young person, on the front. Listen, God wants to bless us and use us and glorify us to glorify him. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these that raise their hand, that they know that they need you more than they have you. And I pray for them just as humble as I know how this morning. I pray for myself along with them. Lord, I want to know more about how to do this pressing. I want to know more about how to submit myself to you. I want to know more about your will. And I believe these folks do too that raise their hand. Now, Father, help us, if you would, this morning to take our hands off ourselves. Help us, Lord, to repent for our pulling back or drawing back from you and taking on man's ways, man's religion. Oh, God, please help us that are saved. Lord, some here may have been ashamed to raise their hand. Lost and saved. Lord, help us all, Lord, to do your will this morning during this time of invitation, please. Lord, we preach that you've revealed things to our heart. Now use it on our hearts, dear God, please. We'll give you all the glory and honor for it. Please bless us, only you can. It's in your wonderful, precious name we pray. Lord Jesus, amen.